did, and some distillation, that is something which we take out of the retreats and then take it with us home, so that this will really stay with you, this experience, for a long time. I'm always saying in a joking way, but I'm not sure how it sounds in English, that we have done some serious surgery on our heart, and if we now jump off the table, everything is still open, it will not serve us very well. We must now stitch everything together, bring it together, so that nothing falls out of you when you go through the life. So, yes, we are starting to move to our destinations after the workshop, but please try to be here fully for this last two sessions, this one and the following at the Yagyashala. Good. Now, how are you all? Tired, no? Tired, no, not so tired. You don't speak. Yesterday, did you appreciate the Kapalika, the beggar of the mind? It had some depths, isn't it? Some surprising depths. I woke up really and I saw Mahaprabhu sitting in agony with his two associates and explaining to them how his mind was no longer with him, really. It had taken the form of a beggar to go to Vrindavan to get more of the nectar of Krishna from those very dear devotees of Lord Krishna. And I had very Krishna conscious dreams about this, the theater play. I saw everything, including the Pasaram distribution at the end with burpees. I put it all together in dream-like fashion. So, good. This was an illustration of yesterday's subject, to chant in the mood of separation. This chanting in the mood of separation is the result of a purified heart, or it is the result of becoming real. When you chant from a purified heart, it's obviously more strong, but to become purified, we need to become real. We need to understand, yes, I'm here in this material world, and I am far away from my ultimate shelter, and my soul is yearning for this. This yearning made me do such an extraordinary step as joining the Hare Krishna movement. Yes, I'm serious. We committed ourselves fiercely to this path. And in the beginning, for most of us, it meant to leave a path we were on, like studies or becoming a CEO of big companies, or an actor, or a drug specialist. I'm talking of our different social backgrounds. But we left all this, and we became wanderers on the path of Krishna consciousness. We took to it because we understood. We had become real. Maya had receded a little bit, it had touched, the message of Krishna consciousness had touched our souls. I talked this morning briefly to Malati, and she made a very wonderful point which helped me for the first time to understand what many devotees had in the beginning. Many devotees, when they saw Srila Prabhupada, had an experience of him walking in their life surrounded with an unearthly or divine light. And Malati said something. What did they see? Well, most properly, Prabhupada's purity had pierced, she used the word pierce, a very good word, through the layer and touched the heart. So much so that we became enthusiastic, convinced, and even strong enough to walk this path. Somehow we had become real. We could understand this is most important. Other things are at best secondary if they are not even utterly worthless. Becoming real, understanding our situation in the world. We are here not even for long, birth, and then there will be death. I really have a need now, the need for Krishna. I couldn't tell, find this yesterday, but I wanted to say yesterday after the theater, I accidentally opened this book, and I found there a statement by Prabhupada. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he is a sannyasi. He has no necessity. Please go back to the theater play and see him sitting there. But why is he crying? What does he want then? He has given up the whole world. He became a sannyasi. He doesn't want anything. Why then is he crying so much? Prabhupada is asking this question. He is crying for Govinda. That is the real necessity. Govinda virahename. Govinda necessity. When a devotee wakens up to these feelings that I need you, either because he has become purified by the process and he sees, or just as a beginner, that he understands, well, let's be real. I am spirit, I am spiritual, meaning I'm spiritual, and I need to be with Krishna. Then how does Krishna react? What does Krishna think when someone makes this step, where he sincerely turns to him, especially in his or her chanting? Do we have any way to know what is going on in the mind of Krishna? And yes, there is a quotation which appears in the Hari Bhakti Vilas. It's from Adi Purana, where a very intimate discussion between Arjuna and Krishna, or Krishna and Arjuna, takes place. And there, talking in absolute confidence, Krishna reveals his heart to Arjuna. He says, "O Arjuna, listen very carefully to what is in my heart. Those persons who sing my name and dance directly before me truly purchase me. Don't be surprised by what I tell you now. Truthfully, those who sing my names and cry tears of longing purchase me, Janardana, completely. Except for these devotees, no one else can purchase me. Now we know Krishna uses his words very carefully and consciously. Why does he say they can purchase me Janardana? Why doesn't he say Govinda or Mukunda or Madhusudan or Hari? Or why does he say those who chant my name and do it with some longing, no, they purchase me Janardana? Listen carefully. Janardana is a name of Krishna referring to he who is situated in everyone's heart. Jana means the living entities. So Krishna is there with every one of us. He's also there with Mr. Donald Trump in the heart. And others. Marilyn Monroe, he said in her heart, everyone, Democrat, the other party, everyone, good devotee who's on the way to become good, Guru Maharaj, young pot washing Bhakta, Janardana, he's there in the heart. And everyone, without exception, the wide, wide spectrum of humans, outside and inside the movement, when the Lord becomes aware, this person is longing for me, Janardana, he feels, I'm his now, or I am hers now. Janardana, the Lord in the heart, will respond. And that's the idea of our yesterday's session. Bring something into your relationship when you chant. Don't chant just mechanically. Chant maybe with the idea, I need you. We human beings are very connected to our needs, no? When we go overtime into the breakfast time, no one will be sympathetic listener any longer. For long time. We can go 10 minutes, 20 minutes, but after some time. Needs are very realistic. So think of the Govinda need, or in Prabhupada's words, the Govinda necessity before you start to chant. And miracles happen. Janardana, the Lord who may just have waited for this to happen, will start to act. This was yesterday, today is another day. And we will start now in seriousness here. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunya Vihari Madhava Kunya Vihari Gopi Janavallabha Giri Varada Giri Varadhani Yasodhanandana Rajajanarandana Nana Rajajanarandana Yasodhanandana Rajajanarandana Yamuna Chiravana Chari Yamuna Chiravana Chari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunya Vihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunya Vihari Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna.
Hare Hare Hare.
Please, as if you really mean it.
Hare Krishna.
Ta-da! jata paksha iva mataram kaga. Amataram kaga stanyam yatavat satara kshudata. Priyam priyeva vyushitam vishanna. Manoravandaksha didrikshate tvam. Ajatapaksha iva mataram kaga. Danyam yatavat satara kshudata.
Danyam yatavat satara kshudata.
Priyam priyeva vyushitam vishanna. Manoravindakshati dikshate tvam.
Please, someone else. Can we have, please, one lady? We will go a little bit fast this morning because of so many things coming up. Thank you very much. Ajatapakshaha. Who have not yet grown wings. Eva. Like. Mataram. The mother. Kagaha. Small birds. Stanyam. The milk from the utter. Yata. Just as Vatsatara, the young calves, Churata, distressed by hunger, Priyam, sorry, the beloved or husband, Priya, the wife or lover, Eva, like. Vyushitam, who is far away from home. Vishana, morose. Manaha, my mind. Aravindaksha, O lotus-eyed one. Didikshate, wants to see. Tvam, you. In one work of his, Bhagavad Archa Marichimala, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur is picking out this verse as explaining what should be the mood in which one chants. Please listen carefully. Translation. O lotus-eyed Lord, as baby birds that have not yet developed their wings, always look for their mother to return and feed them. small calves tied with the ropes await anxiously the time of milking, when they will be allowed to drink the milk of their mothers. Or as a morose wife, whose husband is away from home, always longs for him to return and satisfy her in all respects, I always yearn for the opportunity to render direct service unto you. It's a little difficult when the main content or the main statement comes after three heavy laden images to put it all together in the mind. I will make it simple for you. Three images are evoked as longing for Krishna or yearning. First, the little bird who sits there in his nest and waits for the mother to come back and bring food and feed it. You might have seen these little birds in their nests. In the spring you can see them. They are all mouth, you know. The huge mouth, you know. They long and they go psh, 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 psh. This means come, come, come. Please come. So the second image is that of a calf who is bound by the neck by a rope and is a little bit away from the mother calf, mother cow. And so when the mother cow sees the calf, her own calf there, then she feels so motherly that she releases the milk in her udder very easily, and the farmer come and milk, and the calf hears the sound of the milk entering the bucket, shana, 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 and goes even more eager, oh my God. And the cow is mooing, moo, moo, moo. And then when the farmer has taken enough milk, the proportion of milk, then he releases the calf, and the calf comes to the cow and drinks. This is not a cruel thing. If the calf would drink before the milk would have been taken away, he would drink too much, or she would drink too much, and her little stomach would burst, or diarrhea would be there. It is a good way to do it like this. And finally, the last is a couple where the wife has managed her life without the presence of her husband, who was abroad maybe or in a distant country, and has done many things for the family. And finally, he comes and is extremely satisfied. This is the three images where the longing, where in the two first examples there is no mood of service there, but in the last example, the wife has waited for her husband and has most probably cooked his favorite dishes and has tidied the house, so she is ready to do service, and she has done service. So in the same way, the devotee waits for his absent Lord with the mood of the service attitude. I want to serve, I want to surrender, just like the in these images, of which the strongest really is the last image, because there the notion of seva, of service, is there. This is the verse I would like to read to you, Srila Prabhupada's commentary. It's brief, so we need to be focused to hear everything clearly. A pure devotee always yearns to associate personally with the Lord and render service unto him. The examples given in this regard are most appropriate. A small baby bird is practically never satisfied except when the mother bird comes to feed it. A small calf is also not satisfied unless allowed to suck the milk from the mother's udder. And a chaste, devoted wife whose husband is away from home is never satisfied until she has the association of her beloved husband.
Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Padarine Nirvishesha Shunyavari Askatyare Satarine
Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Sri Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare.
So Hare Krishna, my dear devotees. It is my great pleasure to give this concluding lecture this morning. I must say before I start to talk, because I will again be a little intense in the delivery, but here we are still in our joyful mood. It's really honor. Today Kalakanta Prabhu and Brahmatirtha Prabhu came to me and said, "How do you feel?" And I said, "Blissful," because it was just such a nice time we could spend together. It enriched my Krishna consciousness really significantly to see you and to see your sincerity and to be able to try to render some seva in your own spiritual path. Really, highly, how do you say, gratifying, highly gratifying. It was a very blissful experience. So yes, now allow me to switch into the other mood, the mood of the lecturer. After having given many holy name retreats all over the world, I was asking what is really the essential spiritual practices which one has to discover in order to improve his chanting. And I made a serious study. I'm not such a good professor of spiritual knowledge, but whatever I could do, I really read the books, I tried to understand, and then found again and again a few principles in the teachings of this foremost sadhana, and I put them together with the idea to help devotees to enliven their practice. Because if we do something in an enlivened way, not out of, I think the English word, please help me, is by rote, you know, to do this and so on, but if we do it in an enlivened way, we will stay with the practice, and the practice will give us a huge benefit. And I had written earlier books. One book was really a summary of Harinam Chintamani. That was the very first book, called The Nectarian Ocean of the Holy Name. But I really was not satisfied with the books, because I felt they lacked a practical dimension. The dimension is, okay, sit down and do this. You will find this in these parts of our scriptures, and you will see by yourself what will happen. This book was not there, and I decided Let me try to write this. It took 7 years minimum to write it, and I didn't want it to be so big that you would shudder with fear if you just see it. Oh no, I have already so much to read. This is so. There was distilling, concentrating the thing, seeing, is it really necessary, or can we throw this out? Less is more. And finally, this was as good as I can do. The Living Name book, which is really an exercise book. It is different than the other books. There is, yes, philosophical, everything must be established in Shastra and by the previous Acharyas, so there is a part. But then come exercises which tell you really do this, sit down here, now do you do this, and so on. But in a nice way, in a pleasant way, in a cultural acceptable way, and so on. It these five practices were the beginning practices of I call them yojana, or it's the Sanskrit word for aligning body, mind, and our inner core, our heart. Then chant with a sense of relationship, sambandha, then seva, service, then yesterday was vipralamba, and today sharanagati, surrender. There must be surrender. About this, Bhaktivinoda Thakur has a lot to say, but a very, very wonderful statement is there in Chaitanya Shikshamrita, where he says there are two types of truly devoted souls. It should be easy for you to find out where you are, in which type you are, which type. There are the persons who aspire for love or prema, who have not yet reached it, in other words. And then there's the other group, is one who has attained prema. So you have to see where you are. But both classes of devotees, he says, practice sharanagati or surrender, especially in relationship to the name. Those who have already attained prema chant with natural surrender, and those who are on the way to prema, who have not yet attained it, chant the names with a certain understanding. I have no other place to go. I must go to Krishna in my life, especially when I chant now. This is about Krishna. It's Krishna's name. Unfortunately, I'm not so very qualified. Lust, greed, and so many other things still trouble me. But in my heart of hearts, I want bhakti. Although my senses may tell me that I want other things, I know those things will not make me happy. I have tried everything to satisfy myself, and it has not worked. I will now invest in the holy name. This idea is a sense of surrender. Okay, surrender means I've tried other things, now I surrender. Let your will be supreme now, no longer my will. I surrender to this practice. For a devotee, it may mean, okay, I chant 16 rounds, this is my surrender. I don't like to always chant 16 rounds because I'm so busy in life, and I know when I sit down, it will be another unconcentrated thing for me, and I have not so much taste, but I surrender to this practice. Surrender could mean that I give my best now. Okay, these are, even if I'm a beginner, say if these are 4 rounds, I surrender to this, I will do my 4 rounds, and I will now give my best. What was it? Sit down properly. Okay, I can do this. That means I may have to switch off now my computer in front of me. Oh, that's a hard thing to ask for, but okay, I surrender. And I put the off button. Boom. Oh, this, I can't believe my computer is off. And then surrender could mean other things. It could mean, wow, I know my life is busy. Let me eat after I have completed my quota. Because I know if I now eat, then my body is all into digestion and let's do something. So I surrender to this practice. Surrender has to be defined by you, because you are the one who has to surrender. And very important, there will be no GBC men behind you looking if you chant properly. Most probably they also need to surrender sometimes to the chanting. They are also human beings, to give their best, obviously, but you know, there's no one who watches you in these early morning hours. It has to come from you. And by the way, surrender must always happen in the heart. We don't speak of a defeated army who needs to surrender. They don't do this by the heart. I know my father needed to surrender to the Russians. And he still says to this day, these Russians, one thin soup a day, that's what we got. And abuses and abuses and abuses. You should see, we didn't even have toilets. And then he goes and says, I have to get this out of my old mind. He then concludes his speech and says, their service was not very good. So, no, we don't speak of this surrender. We speak of the need of the soul to surrender to the Lord. And I have a surprise to you. A question. I will ask you a question. This is an authorized question. It's from Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Whose prayers does Krishna hear? Seriously, whose prayers does Krishna hear? If he wouldn't have asked, you know, you would think, but he hears everyone, no? But then why this question? Apparently not. Maybe he doesn't hear your chanting. Maybe he doesn't hear your prayers. Let us continue our investigation. Whose prayers does Krishna hear? Sharanga Sharanagati Hoibe Yahara Tahara Pratana Shune Shinanda Kumara. The prayers of one who submits to the sixfold path of Sharanagati are heard by Sri Nanda Kumar. When we turn to the Lord in prayer, he not only hears us, but he becomes more inclined to bless us. But if we don't mean it, if it's just a lip service, if there is no heart involved, if there is no Sharanagati, he doesn't hear you. We say in English, do you hear me? Do you hear me? Do you hear me? Of course, acoustically, the other person hears you. Krishna hears everything, even the wind in the
in the trees, as it increases in speed, announcing the next rain cloud and the rain next release of showers on New Vrindavan. Krishna hears all the sounds, but he really takes to his heart only those who submit to him, who practice Sharanagati. Now, Sharanagati is very poorly translated with the word surrender. It's the most poor and dissatisfying, let us say, translation I have found so far of devotional terms. Surrender, in our way we use it, it's something you dread. Then someone comes, you must surrender to me. Oh no, please, we are in the 19th century. This is no longer the South ruling over slaves, you know. You have to surrender. Sharanagati doesn't imply that at all, to do something against your will. Sharana means shelter, and gati means to move towards. In Sharanagati, we are requested to move towards our shelter. And to move towards is always a gradual process. In other words, you can do Sharanagati small, in small doses, if that is your level of adhika, if that is your level of faith at the moment. If your shraddha increases, you will move quicker towards the shelter of Lord Krishna. It's something which everyone can do. I'm thinking of Bibisan. In the beginning, he stayed with Ravan, his demoniac brother, and he was witness of how Ravan even kidnapped Sita. Vibhisan, you must know, was always a devotee. At the beginning of creation, his unusual other sibling, Ravana, prayed, "Let me become so powerful that I terrorize the whole universe and make everyone cry." And Brahma said, "Tathastu." And Vibhisan, but like, my God, what a request. I request something else. May I have devotion to Ram? And Brahma went, "Tathastu." May that also be. But still, Vibhisan could, in the beginning, although he saw that Ravan had gone against Ram by kidnapping Ram's beloved Sita, he could not yet give up the bad association of Ravan. Only when the cup became full of Ravan's atrocities, then Bibhisan said, "This is too much." And then he went to Ram. He approached him for shelter. He practiced Sharanagati. And he was accepted immediately by Lord Ram, despite his history of staying with the worst of demons, the Ravan. Sharanagati is something which everyone should seriously consider. And I will tell you a story which will make you want to do Sharanagati. May I do so? I want to now break your resistance to this idea, which you have maybe practiced for many years and there were poor returns and you are afraid. I hope you might think, no one tells me to surrender any longer, especially when you're older in Krishna consciousness. This word, you've heard it too much. But here is something which I believe will motivate you to look anew into this concept and then apply it to your chanting and see miracles unfold. Here is a wonderful narrative. I heard this from His Holiness Bhaktivedanta Goswami Maharaj. Once Ramanujacharya, once the foremost disciple of Ramanujacharya, please forgive me, I forgot his name, it starts with P, not Kuresha, was on his way through a forest. He was surrounded by his disciples, seven or so of them, and they were walking silently through the forest, each in their own thoughts, or chanting, or all of a sudden, the most unusual scene unfolded. A black-complexioned man, dressed only with a skin, yes, like a gamsha, broke out of the forest. He was totally bewildered. His large eyes rolled. He was beyond himself. He was making sounds. And he broke down before the traveling monks. Sprinkled some water on him, said one of them. And they patted his cheeks. It was really so bad. He was so confused. Finally, the hunter caught his wit. And this leading devotee said, "Hunterji, explain yourself. What happened that disturbed you so much?" He was clearly under shock. Finally, he could speak. He said, "I don't know how I should continue my life. Can anyone tell me?" He did. Shanti. "Tell what happened, then maybe we can tell," said the older devotee, the leading devotee. "I was there. I had a good kill the day. Many animals. Finally, I saw a very, very fat hare. It's like a rabbit. I put my unfailing arrow on the bow. He hadn't seen me. And I drew the bow. I knew it would be a good other kill. I was already, my taste buds wetted. Then, as I was just about to release the deadly arrow, the rabbit became aware of me, looked at me with frightened eyes. He knew this was the end. And then he did something extraordinary, which disturbed me too much. This rabbit ran towards me. He circled three times or four times around me. Drum, 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 drum. And then he put his head on my feet. In a gesture of surrender, I aimed my arrow. It's not that I am a weak-hearted man, but I couldn't bring myself to release the arrow because he had utterly submitted to me. Now, I don't know. Should I break my bow and my profession? I'm disturbed." And he looked helplessly to the leader of the devotees.
This devotee fainted. Bang! So there was no answer. Oh, said the disciples, our Guruji has fainted. Was this too cruel of a story? So bring some water. And they sprinkled him. And the devotee came up again. Pure devotee, great devotee. He looked at the hunter. Boom, and fainted again. More water. A third time he fainted. Then a fourth time he could manage. He sat up. It said, with tears in his eyes, how unfortunate I am. This rabbit had not heard Krishna's words in the Gita that anyone who surrenders to him is freed from all karma. But it was so natural for the rabbit to surrender at, not gunpoint, bow point, you know, at the prospect of being killed, that he ran and took shelter. Furthermore, the hunter did not intend to grant shelter. He's not like Krishna, who wants to give us shelter. But still, although running for shelter is so natural, and although Krishna is willing and also able to grant shelter, I'm not surrendering too much. Vroom, and he fainted again. To approach someone for shelter in a difficult situation is natural when you are not deceived and in illusion. It is natural. So when we chant, we should think of Krishna and approaching him for shelter. Why? Because he says he listens to the prayers of those who are practicing the sixfold path of Sharanagati, of surrender. To start with surrender, we need to go through a gateway. If I want to come into the temple here, I need to go through that gate. I understood there is also a side gate, but I don't know the side gate. I only know this one. So, if I want to enter here and see the deities, a dwara, a gate must be crossed, a portal, so to say. In the same way, if you want to start your surrender to chanting, you must start with what? I know it's so difficult to say something when someone knows already what they want to hear or say. Should I say it? Humility. Mahaprabhu makes this very clear. You have heard it a million times and yet again. Why not let us all chant it again? I'm sorry. Trinadapi sinichena. Yes. You should chant in a humble mood. What could this mean? A humble mood is there when you know, no, I'm not so great. I need help. And I'm thinking, please hear, that Prabhupada indicated in his first, let us say, article on chanting, how to chant, what it means to chant in a humble mood. He said, we should cry out to Krishna like a child calls for its Mother Day. We should cry out to Krishna, like a dependent child, I would like to say also, calls for its mother. This surrender, my dear devotees, is the main point of Sharanagati. You know, the essential practice amongst the six fold path of surrender is to consider Krishna my maintainer. Goptritve varanam. The child is maintained by the mother in all respects. The mother offers the child important nourishment, but maybe more so. By the way, my Mother's Day talk comes later. This is not in the Mother's Day talk, but it fits very nicely. Maybe more so, the mother gives the child unconditional love. Without this love, no one of you would be alive any longer. Unconditional love. Oh, the child cries in the night. It's 1 o'clock in the morning, and the little child requires milk, and the mother is already so finished. So many sleepless nights before. Oh, but she hears the child of her crying, and there is a certain hormone which mothers have, which men don't have. It is there, it's a caring hormone. And boom, it jumps up, and of course, no doubt, I will take care of you and give you my love and my full attention. Love, mother gives safety. Mother forgives always. Even there are stories of criminals who were committed, who were in the prison before their death sentence, and they saw their mothers, and the mothers forgave their child. You're my child, little shishu, little small boy, little, you were a bad association. I know you are good, and so on and so forth. No? So this is how you call for Krishna, with the same feeling. He is my ultimate maintainer, my loving maintainer, and this will bring you. This is there in Prabhupada's prayer. Please accept me. Krishna will always accept you. Like the mother, always accepts the child. I remember my mother. I was a notorious boy, you can't believe. I was so absolutely notorious. My teachers in school can tell you stories which will make you faint. I was just so bad. And always so adventurous. I was always climb trees and come too close to the wild bulls on the meadow. I lived and I grew up in nature on an island. And always a little rascal with my little rascal friends around and so on and so forth. And the verses I was in school, I did not appreciate even 1 millisecond in school. It was too boring for my voracious appetite to know. I was reading so much and this little boy, I was arrogant. He said, "This is for children, what you teach." So bad. Ooh, so bad. So rebellious also. Then my father would always punish me. German education means the stick. And because the parents, the teachers came, I would be... when they asked me for a thing, because my father was influential, I thought I could do everything. I would throw snowballs from the back on them and take revenge. Especially I used to hit the neck where the snowball goes in and that goes all over. Yes, very bad boy. And my father would then punish me severely.
and I was suffering. Oh no, so painful, and absolute rejection, and all psychology went crazy, you know. Oh. And then my mother would say, come to me. And I would be swollen cheeks and tears, and father doesn't like me, he doesn't understand how boring it is in school. I understand, you sit down. I can't sit, he hit me on the behind. I have prepared a cushion already, I know. And you here, and I have made your favorite pudding. What? Himmel und Erde? This is a famous German pudding. Himmel und Erde. Sky and Earth, the pudding is called. Himmel, you made Himmel und Erde. Even better, I added chocolate. And everything was forgotten. And mother gave shelter. I still remember this to this day. And when I remind my mother, she just laughs and says, you were very bad, that's true, but you had a good heart always. It's like this. So Krishna, in the same way, has motherly affection for us. We may be this, we may be that, but if we come to Krishna, please accept me. Please accept me in your service. Surrender to Krishna. Even if we can't do very well, approach Krishna. Do the next step, my dear devotee. Do your next step when you chant the holy name. You may not chant on the highest level, but do your next steps towards good chanting, good addressing Krishna. Krishna will certainly take care of you. He will not oversee you or overlook you. He will not overlook your endeavor. So, surrender or sharanagati in the strict sense has to come from you. And in the workshop, which is very important, we will give you a very easy method to find out what is your next step in your chanting of the holy name. A very easy method to move towards, my God, we are so late, to move towards surrender. I see the wristwatch here. It is very late. It is scandalously late, in fact. Let me just say one thing more about the mother, because today is Mother Day. I don't know how it happened, but I already spoke about my mother to you and the unconditional acceptance of the mother, which is very important for us when we chant, because this is how we practice our Sharanagati, to consider Krishna our maintainer. This considering the Lord our maintainer is the main body of surrender, and everything else are limbs of surrender. It's the Angi, and the others are Angas of surrender. So I would like to just say one thing about surrender. Prabhupada gave me the name Shachinandan, the son of Mother Sachi, the Das of that son of Mother Sachi. And I was always thinking, why did Prabhupada give me a lady's name? It means I'm a mother's boy, no? Sachi Nandan Das. Nandana son Sachi, Mother Sachi. And I was forced, you know, there was an American, there was this Johnny Cash, this melodic singer, folk song, and there was one hit which I heard, the boy who was called Sue or something, Yes, the older generation may remember it. It was about a boy who got the name Sue, like for Susan, so a lady's name, and he had troubles in his life and so on, like folk song. So why was I called Sachina? And sometimes devotees would say short she. Then I found out something, and that is that when Lord Chaitanya took sannyas, he knew his mother, who previously had been Yashoda, Devahuti, would cry like these best of mothers upon the renunciation of their sons. So how could Mahaprabhu, compassion incarnate, make his mother cry, who had already lost her other son, and before that several daughters, you know. It was not easy for him. So on the day before, he said, "Mother, I will always be known in relationship to you. I will always be known as Sachinandan, the son of Mother Sachi. This is how close our relationship is." And Mother, what? Just think of me and I will be with you. Mahaprabhu always did this. He came and ate the food which Mother Sachi cooked when Mother Sachi thought of her son. Daily, actually, he came, because she had no other place in her mind than to think of her son. And Mahaprabhu would simply, my dear devotees, think of this, simply become inclined towards someone who only said the Bengali word for mother, "I." Can we say this together? I would say it one time alone, because some of you were classically sleeping. "I."
"I."
Yes, this means mother. If he would hear someone just say this, he would be reminded of Mother Sachi. As a rebellious son who left home, I heard all this. But lately, as of late, I have come to understand one thing. All my opportunities in life are there because I have a body, a human body. Who gave me this? Who gave me all the opportunities in life? It's the mother. Therefore, in traditional Vedic culture, I mean, if someone surrenders to the Lord, that's the path, of a very high and exalted path. It is said, you can disobey your father. You can even disobey your guru. This is Arthashastras, not the highest, this is the Dharma Shastras. But you can never, never, never disobey your mother. Therefore, Mahaprabhu also, after taking sannyas, he went to Sachi Devi and said, "I was a little impulsive by nature. Do you want me to change back? I will do it." He needed the permission of the mother, because in traditional society, following codes of Dharma, it's not possible. So this is, of course, Krishna says, for a higher Dharma, sava dhammang parijaja. I'm thinking of, you know, devotees whose mothers were opposed and who then went. But I think,
Because we are not always so transcendental as we would like to be. I think the history of ISKCON shows that. I think it is good to make up with the mother. I had to do this with my mother, who was very grief-stricken that I left her, and she started to smoke, actually, which is for a cultured lady of her status not a no-no. But she could not deal with her grief. I knew in my life I have to make up, and I did it. I mean, she is a nice person. It's not that she demands impossible things, and so on. I think if you just think for a moment, where would you be without having been born and gotten a human body? Think about it. Mother is so important. And Mahaprabhu shows this, and I learned it. I got a name like this. So, good. This is about the festivity. I understand. Let me just close the lecture. Immediately after the lecture, there will be an offering of a hopefully tasty cake, but it's only for the ladies to enjoy, so it will be there. Let me just finish this part. I want to again bring the point. Think about Sharanagati. You have heard from Bhaktivinoda Thakur that the Lord only listens to your Hare Krishna, Hare Ram, you know, your chanting, if you do this with a mood of surrender, if you practice, and this means to maybe become a little humble first, the gate, so that you can actually come like a child who cries for the mother and chant in this way. It's Prabhupada's instruction to all of us in his very first article. It means to practice with a mood of surrender to Krishna or Sharanagati. I wish you all the best. We need to now be a little bit on the acceleration. Don't forget, at 11 o'clock, you are really required. By the way, you are extremely punctual. This is very good. Keep it going. One thing, at the beginning when you enter, there will be Aditi Narayan. Prabhu, please take... Aditya Narayan. Stand up, Aditya Narayan Prabhu. This is our Aditya Narayan Prabhu. He will have a tablet with him where you can write down your contact email, because I want to send you the training newsletter, Amrita Vani, so that you can, even after the retreat, practice what you have learned. No? Very important. This gives me also an opportunity to contact you when we have the audio recordings for meditations ready, so that you can do your Hare Krishna meditations and so on. Yeah, and the last is, if Kaishori is still here, I do not see so well, if she could just come here after the class. Good. Now we will give the microphone to Gopi Manjari. Please. The cake is coming. Now I understand everything. My dear devotees, should the cake be the end of our concentration? Just please, you know, when oh, Prabhus, culture, minimalistic culture, but something, it's not over. Psht, you will get your cake faster if you're now just 1 minute silent. Ah, you Hare Krishnas. Cake is there.
Good. Thank you very much, Maharaj.
Yes.